around for a few minutes and give all of us an opportunity to greet you and make you feel welcome here at Crockett Road. We're a great congregation of people that love the Lord and are endeavoring to do His will. And we just appreciate those who believe in standing up for the truth. And the Bible says that Jesus is that way, the truth, and the life. And in the book of John 8, and verse 32, he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, there was a young man one time who was having some money problems, and most young people do. But anyway, needed about $200 to get his car fixed and roadworthy once again. Didn't know exactly what he was going to do. He had run out of people to borrow from. So he called his parents, hated to do that, but called his parents via the operator. He wanted the charges reversed. It was a long-distance call. And he said to his dad, he said, "I need to borrow $200. At the other end, his father said, "Sorry, I can't hear you, son. I think there may be a bad line." The boy shouts, "$200. I need $200. "Sorry, I can't hear you clearly, son." The operator cuts in and says, "Sorry, sir, but I can hear him perfectly." And the father said, "Well, good, you send him the money." You know, you and I have been listening to the wrong people. Or perhaps maybe the people that we listen to are not the folks that we ought to be listening to. You know, in America today, you and I may be listening to the wrong people. We have a lot of people in America today that believe that America should not be a sovereign nation. But I'm convinced today that God has blessed America, and I hope that He will continue to do so. And I, too, appreciate Ray's address a few moments ago on Patrick Henry's speech, give me liberty or give me death. This morning, I want to pursue that same thought with the lesson entitled, "Let Freedom Ring." You know, I'm afraid that in many places around the world, freedom does not ring. Freedom does not ring in China. It does not ring in Russia. And even though we set forth to liberate the country of Iraq, freedom does not reign in Iraq anymore. It doesn't ring in Afghanistan. It doesn't ring in North Korea. And could it be someday that freedom does not ring in the United States of America? Irma Bombeck once said, "You have to love a nation that celebrates its independence every 4th of July, not with guns and tanks and soldiers who file by the White House for a show of strength and muscle, like they do in many other countries, by the way. But we celebrate the 4th of July and our freedom with things like family picnics, get-togethers, opportunities for families once again to think about the freedoms that we have in this country. That's patriotism, isn't it? That is what it's all about. The word patriotism emanates from that word patriot. You and I should be patriots in this country. And if we're going to continue to preserve and enjoy the great freedoms that we have in America, then we're going to have to elect men to office that will ensure that those freedoms will stand forever. You know, on November the 4th of this year, you and I will have a grand opportunity to change the complexion of Washington, D.C. We will. You've heard me say that before, that the complexion needs to be changed. Do you not believe that? Amen? Now, up in Washington, we've got a lot of bureaucrats and we got a lot of folks up there that are making laws that are trying to strip us of our freedom. Have you ever thought about how many erroneous laws there are in this country that, by the way, that are still on the books? Did you know that there is a law in Florida that makes it illegal for a woman who is single, divorced, or widowed to parachute out of a plane on Sunday afternoon. Now, I bet they're just jumping at the chance. In Amarillo, Texas, it's against the law to take a bath on Main Street during banking hours. In Portland, Oregon, it is illegal to wear roller skates in the bathroom. I don't know how many of you do that. In Hallathorpe, Maryland, if you kiss your wife or your girlfriend, and hopefully those are the ones you're kissing, and if it lasts more than a second, you have violated the law. And in St. Louis, listen to this, still on the books, in St. Louis, Missouri, there is a law that if your automobile were to spook a horse, you had better hide your car. And if hiding that car did not work, you have to start dismantling the car until the horse is calmed down. Now, those laws sound erroneous and they sound silly and stupid, but I'm going to tell you some of the laws that are coming out of Washington, D.C. are just about as erroneous. I believe that God wants us in this country to do our best to allow freedom to ring the stars and stripes forever. It's what our freedom is all about. You know, the Liberty Bell is one of the greatest symbols of our freedom. And it really is one of the greatest symbols of freedom in the entire known world. The echo of that bell carried through Pennsylvania in 1774 for the first time as it summoned that first Continental Congress together. And then again it rang at the Battle of Lexington and Concord in the year 1775. And then again at its most notable ringing on July the 8th in the year 1776 when it summoned the citizens for the reading of the most valuable document ever penned beside the Word of God. And that was the Declaration of Independence that afforded you the right to gather here this morning to honor God. That gives you the right of free speech, regardless of what the Houston mayor has to say. That old bell of freedom rang its last note, believe it or not, on February the 26th. In the year 1846, the old Independence Bell rang its last clarion call in honor of the birthday of Washington. And it gave a clear and loud sound and appeared to be in excellent condition that day until about noon, when it received a compound fracture. And it was a zigzag or a crack in that bell and one of the sides, which put it out of tune and left it a mere wreck of what it was. Let me ask you a question today. Could it be said of our freedom that it is voiceless and broken? When people try to silence, that is, our legislatures, our senators, and our congressmen, and the man who sits in the Oval Office, tries to silence the American people if they do not agree with them, then our freedom begins to erode. It was Elmer Davis who once said that this nation will remain the land of the free as long as it is the land of the brave. And I like what Robert J. McCracken once wrote. He said, "We on this continent should never ever forget that the first men crossed the Atlantic not to find soil for their plows, but to secure liberty for their souls." And I really believe that people in America today are still in search of that liberty, and in many cases, it has been lost. Let no man fool you about our founding fathers Because they understood that there was a great connection between God and government and between faith and freedom. And yet we have many today that say, well, we should never ever mix politics and religion. Wrong. I don't know where people ever came up with that concept. Some say your religion belongs in the church and in your home, not in your government. Well, it's interesting that the framers of the Constitution didn't think that way, and they were the ones who gave it to us. But we have a lot of liberal judges, a lot of federal judges, even those who sit on the highest court of America, the Supreme Court, who believe that we should not be involved in government. As a matter of fact, some political organizations believe that we should take God out of the platform of their particular philosophy politically. I will remind you once again, God gave us liberty. And He should always be the head of every government. God bless America, land that I love. Irving Berlin was right when he penned the words of that great song that has become a classic in so many places around our country today. Let me share with you a number of things this morning that you ought to remember about our freedom. And that's really been the theme that we've carried out this week at the RV rally, Let Freedom Ring. Real freedom is given by Almighty God. It is. Now that's why the framers of the Constitution referred to the fact that we are a nation under God. We've had the proponents of those who believe that it was wrong for us to even mention God, and they said we need to take it out of the Pledge of Allegiance. We don't even need to mention the name of God. And even many of our political leaders today will not even pray in the name of Christ because they are afraid that they're going to exclude someone who does not believe in what our founding fathers said about this country being based upon Christian and moral values. Do you know the very first gift that God gave to Adam and Eve was life? It was. They were created in the express image of Almighty God. But the second gift that God gave unto them was freedom. It was. Because He told them as He placed them in that literal utopia, that Garden of Eden, that they could partake of anything in the world. They had the liberty to partake of anything that they wanted to partake of. But there was one thing that God says you should not partake of. And that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said that when you violate that law, you will die. And when Adam and Eve violated that law, death set in. And death prevailed. And the Bible says, as in Adam, all die. God put them in one of the most liberated environments ever known to man. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, the Bible says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it. And the Lord God commanded them, saying, of every tree of the garden, listen to this now, you talk about freedom, you may freely eat. For example, they were in a place where they didn't have to worry about cancer. They didn't have to worry about heart disease. They didn't have to wake up in the morning with a migraine headache. They didn't have to struggle to crawl out of bed because of their arthritis. They didn't even have what we call the common cold. You could eat corn dogs until they came out your ears. Because they were free from disaster and death. No funeral homes. No caskets. No grave sites to daunt the hill. God gave us a country and provided numerous freedoms for us. And it is incumbent upon you and upon me as American people to protect those freedoms that are provided to us by the Constitution of the United States of America. For it says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them, we hold these truths to be self-evident. They're before our eyes. That all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among them are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Among those who signed the Declaration of Independence was a man by the name of James Madison. He said, "The law of nature, which is dictated by God Himself, is of course superior," listen to it, "superior in obligation to any other." Now, does that sound like the framers felt like perhaps the spiritual laws of Almighty God were even far above the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence? I believe that he's saying that. And he said it is binding over all the globe in all countries and at all times. And no human laws are of any validity if contrary to this. Thomas Jefferson said, "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when people have removed their only firm basis? That is a conviction in the minds of people that these liberties are a gift of God." You see, we live in a country today where a lot of people believe that the government ought to dole out everything in the world to them. You ever been around people like that, that are that selfish? I've seen a lot of it in my lifetime. They often believe that the government ought to be their God. That is the stronghold of their life. I remember reading a long time ago and subscribing to this thought that a government that is big enough to give you anything that you want is big enough to take anything that you have. My God, not my government, shall supply my needs. But there's a second thing that you need to know. And that is that real freedom is not only a gift of God, but it is also governed by love. It is. Now, Paul is saying in this text that real freedom is when you love others more than yourself. And this was greatly understood by the founding fathers of the United States of America. They also knew that liberty is limited by love. So you can say that love is what keeps liberty from going off into extremes, which sometimes it does. We have today what we call the Civil Liberties Union, or the ACLU. We believe a lot of things that are contradictory to the Word of God. You know that God is the one who defined marriage, not the government. Amen. Ephesians 5, verse 21 through about verse 35, the Apostle Paul goes to great lengths to help us understand what marriage is all about, and the roles of those in that marriage relationship. And nowhere in that text does the Bible ever mention that a man is to submit to a man, or that a man is to love another man as his wife, or that a woman is to bow herself before another woman. That particular text says that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. I'm going to tell you something, God doesn't join a same-sex marriage. Man plus woman equals baby. Man plus man equals nothing. Nothing. Even nature disagrees with same-sex marriage. But some want to disregard God and get him out of the picture. Now, I know why the book of Romans chapter 1 talks about homosexuality so much. And why the Bible says that the men did work with themselves, those things that were unseemly. And the women with the women changed the natural use of that into which is unnatural. And the Bible goes on to say that they did not like to even retain God in their image. You know why? If they could get God out of their mind, and they could eradicate any concept that there was a sovereign, almighty God who rules the universe, then they didn't have to bow before that God. I know why people want to get God out of the school and out of their life and out of the government is because when they can erase God, then there are no restraints to where they go. But did you know that there are two extremes that you can take with liberty? There are some people, we call them liberals, who say, I can do anything with my liberty. Whatever I choose to do in life, I can do it. Whenever I want to do it, and it's nobody's business, I have my rights. And then on the other hand, there are those that we call legalists, who say, don't do this or don't do that. And they look at themselves as God's watchdog. They will rant about you denying their opinion and will throw charges in your face if you don't do it their way. As a matter of fact, some people are real proud of their legalistic attitude. And they say, I'm legalistic. And you can go from one extreme to the other, folks, which is just as bad. You can be an extreme liberal or you can be an extreme legalist also, which is just as bad. So Paul reminds us in the 21st century that the remedy for liberalism and legalism is one thing, and here it is. It is love. Love. That's it. There's a fact that we should always remember that our founding fathers knew. A society must be guarded by laws. But ultimately, they knew a society must be governed by love. Remember that law without love is legalism. And love without law is liberalism. But there's another thing you need to know, thirdly. Real freedom is not only guarded by love and governed by it, but real freedom is guided by wisdom. You see, wisdom is the principal thing, isn't it? It is. Therefore, get wisdom. And in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, and verse Solomon said it best in verse 7 when he said, and in all of your getting, get understanding. One translation says wisdom. It's not enough just to read the Bible. We need to exercise wisdom from what we read. Now, I ask you a question today. Where is the wisdom that we have lost in our knowledge? You know, one of the problems, and I dare say that many of those in Washington today who sit in the halls of Congress know exactly what I'm talking about and know it to be true. But the real problem comes when they exercise what they know to be true. Because there is no wisdom in what they do. We must walk according to the word of God in the way of wisdom. Always. And there is a word of wisdom that God offers to you and to me. And here it is. Never make permanent decisions based upon temporary feelings. Do you know that many of the decisions that people make in this life and in this world are actually based upon their feelings? You listen to people talk. When you talk about many of the issues that are confronting us today, people say, well, I feel this way or I feel that way. You know what? God's not interested in your feelings. He's not interested in mine. But what he's interested in is you doing what is right. Remember that freedom is not doing what you want to do. Real freedom is doing what you ought to do. Let freedom ring. That's why real freedom always asks these questions. Before I'm about to do what I'm going to do, what is the right thing to do? Here it is. Not what you feel, but what's the right thing to do? And then secondly, what is the loving thing to do? And then thirdly, what is the wise thing to do? Since freedom is given by God, it should be used to glorify God, shouldn't it? I mean, if God made you free, and that passage in the book of John 8:36, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If God has made us free, shouldn't our freedom lead us to glorify our God who is in heaven? And if freedom is always governed by love, shouldn't we always do what is best for others and not for self? And by the way, I read something the other day. Can you imagine working at this following company? Has a little of over 500 employees with the following statistics. 29 have been accused of spousal abuse. 7 have been arrested for fraud. 19 have been accused of writing bad checks. 117 have bankrupted at least 2 businesses. 3 have been arrested for assault. 71 cannot get a credit card due to bad credit. 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges. 8 have been arrested for shoplifting, and 21 are current defendants in lawsuits. 84 were stopped for drunk driving. Can you perhaps, in your fondest imagination, guess which organization I'm talking about? It is the 535 members of your United States Congress. The same great group of people who crank out hundreds and hundreds of new laws designed for the rest of us in America. Real liberty should be guided by God's wisdom. And if that's true, we must always seek His Word, not our feelings. Let freedom ring. We have sung about it this morning. We continue to pray about it. We must continue to proclaim it in this great United States of America where freedoms are eroding. Isn't it time we ring the bell of freedom once again? The greatest freedom that this world has ever known and will ever know is the freedom that comes to us not from Washington, D.C., not from a fallible document like the Constitution, but from the infallible Word of Almighty God, of which Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 35, that heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. Peter said, the grass will wither and the flower will fade, but the word of the Lord will abide forever. There is no chain that cannot be broken through Christ. Real freedom comes through Him. Maybe this morning, if I were to ask you a question, how would you respond to it? Are you ready to be set free? If the Son shall make you free, then you shall be free indeed. And that freedom, oddly enough, comes through a surrender to Christ to obey His gospel. You know, real freedom has always come at the price of blood. It was true in the Old Testament. It was true in the Garden of Eden. Because the Bible says when Adam and Eve sinned, God made them coats of skin. There had to be death of animals for God to make them coats of skin. When Cain and Abel decided at the will of Almighty God that they would offer sacrifice unto the Lord, Abel was the only one who made that blood sacrifice that God required. And the Bible says in the Old Testament under the law of Moses that God required the high priest to go into the Holy of Holies once every year and sprinkle blood on the altar for the atonement of the people. Well, under the New Testament, Jesus entered into the Holy of Holies once and for all and attained our salvation by the shedding of His own blood. And it's through that surrender to Christ, that you and I have the opportunity to go to heaven. Are you prepared to claim the freedom that you believe? Are you willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins and the removal of your sin stains? You see, your obedience to God enables you to throw off those shackles of sin and experience real freedom and New Testament baptism. And it's the freedom that God provides for all of those who will come to Him and do His will. You know, I've come to believe that when God permits His children to go through the furnace, and I think in America perhaps we have in many respects, He keeps His eye on the clock and His hand on the thermostat. His loving heart knows how much and how long. For someone has appropriately said that the clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop, at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. But to lose one's soul is such a loss that no one can restore. Did you know in the reading of that little poem, believe it or not, 39 people died around our world. And every hour since we started this service at 10:30 this morning, some 5,417 have passed from this life. Someday you will be one of them. I hope you're prepared for the journey to eternity. If you're not this morning and you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and you're ready to reconcile with God and enjoy the freedom that the Lord God gives unto you through Christ His Son, then we appeal to you this morning to come to Him, confessing your faith in Him, and by being immersed or baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. And if you strayed away from God, sometimes that's how people get away from God. They don't deliberately rush away from God, but they stray. Maybe you have. Maybe this morning would be a good time to come back to God and restore the joy of your salvation and the freedom that God gives while we stand and while we sing. Just